Warning, the views and opinions expressed on the show are those and solely those of the hosts and in no way represent the station from which they broadcast from, nor the DJs with whom they work with.
Alrighty then.
But by listening, you will be enlightened by a different brand of useless information.
Bazinga.
And very modest hilarity.
And that's the bottom line.
It's time to hear from the other guys.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
What's up, everybody?
Woo!
Thank you again for tuning in to this week's episode of the Other Guys Podcast. Actually, let me reframe that. A very special edition of the Other Guys Podcast. Well, first off, it's just the two of us. It's me,
you and I.
Yes, it's your host, Baby Huey, along with my other host, Bimbo Jimbo. How's it going, Jimbo?
Let's get it going.
And Chasta and Joe Hawk are not here, well, for multiple reasons. Chasta is very busy this week. Her mom's in town. She just had her baby shower. She's got a lot of doctor stuff, appointments to get ready for her her baby that's on the way. And Joe Hawk, well, let's just say he couldn't attend a very special movie screen that you and I got to attend this past Monday night, which is going to be pretty much all we're going to talk about this episode of the Other Guys Podcast. You and I, Jimbo, had the very special opportunity to see an advanced screen of Captain America Civil War. And I still can't believe we finally got to see it after years of waiting. And so unfortunately, Chasta couldn't attend the screening. Joe Hawk couldn't attend the screening. He had, his big movie trivia, just trivia night in general at his local bar that he attends to, Free Wheel Brewing. So since it's just you and I, that's why only you and I can do this episode to talk about the movie. The other two didn't see it, so we didn't want to spoil anything for them.
Yeah.
But on that note, let's just put it out there. This is going to be spoiler review. We're going to talk details about the movie. We're going to...
Everything.
We're just going to throw it out there.
Lingerie and all. So if you don't want it spoiled, turn off your Zunes.
Zunes?
Yeah. Or other non-name brand MP3 playing devices.
You have a Zune?
No, but somebody in the building does have a Zune.
They still have it? I knew they...
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Okay.
And I love that they have it.
Does it still work?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. To be honest, a few years ago, I thought about buying a Zune, but I instead went with the other guys. Nice pun intended, hey. But this is like Jimbo just said, we're going to talk heavily spoilers, main points from Captain America Civil War. So like you have not seen the movie yet, please stop this. Pause it. Save it for after you see the movie. Go see it this weekend. It comes out Friday, May 6th, here in the U.S. It already came out last week, I think, overseas. So,
Or if you want to look smart and know everything with who you go see it with, you can go ahead and listen and be like, hey, I think this is going to happen.
Yes.
And like, be like, oh, this part's really going to suck because they're going to ruin something really special.
Which we'll look at it.
Hey, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No, I'm sorry. So Jimbo, you and I, we went Monday night, went to the screening for it.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Was that IMAX? Is that technically?
Yes, it was IMAX 3D.
So we got to wear the glasses again, let's talk about that. I mean, there's a lot of people who are on the fence of seeing a movie in...
I hate it.
So, yeah, you're not...
I'm very anti-3D. IMAX is great. You know, bigger screen, whatever. IMAX is fine. You don't normally need the glasses when it's just regular IMAX.
Okay.
IMAX 3D and IMAX are two different things.
Okay, so there are two... Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan of 3D. I don't like having to wear the 3D glasses. I feel like it alters your viewing experience in a way that is not intended because... And maybe it makes everything a little bit darker, so the tones aren't exactly right and everything like that, you know? And it honestly kind of distracts me.
Okay.
And, you know, I just don't think we are really there yet to where, and I think it's coming, where 3D will be this incredibly amazing immersive experience, but I don't think we're really there yet. There were a couple cool moments in Winter Soldier, I will say, in 3D.
Yeah.
But not enough to justify it. Again, I don't like how it alters the tone of what you're seeing on the screen. I made the mistake several years ago now when Captain America, the first Avenger came out. I mean, It was best damn nerd show heyday. I was gung ho, wanted to make sure that there was I wanted to be the expert on. Went to go see it like super soon, and like we were at Comic-Con. I was like, yeah, we're gonna go see it in 3D, and it was great, obviously. But especially in that one, that the tones of it were already so subdued because it was like a World War II movie.
Yeah.
It just, it was too dark. And so, you know, I was, I'll never make that mistake again.
Okay. So that's the thing. For our, you know, everyone listening, yeah, I mean, we're both on the same page. It, you know, we know money's tight for a lot of people. So we think this movie is just okay seeing without 3D glasses.
I would say that it didn't, I mean, nothing was added to it by seeing it in 3D.
Yeah, exactly.
There are no real big moments that it was like, whoa, like, man, it would have sucked if I didn't see it in 3D.
Yeah.
You know, so go see it in you don't need the 3D glasses.
But in IMAX form, just regular 2D, that's still, that's going to be pretty badass still.
Yeah, it'll be badass no matter how you see
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Save your money, people.
Okay, right on.
I mean, spend your money and go see it, but in the manner of which you choose and can also save money.
Exactly. I like that, Jimbo. No, good.
You know, feel the burn, people.
Exactly. So, no, for me, the other problem with just 3D glasses is, you know, we get them. They're the movie, the local theater's theater's glasses is mine. I don't know about you, but mine was like kind of foggy or dirty. So a couple times I had to constantly just kind of clean them up real quick. And so it's just, that's what sucks is like, I feel like I'm wearing tainted glasses already. So it's like, it makes my vision not as clear to begin with. So.
Yeah, you had somebody else's eye sweat on you.
I know. Sure. Thank you for reminding me.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Probably got pink eye.
My eye is itching. Just kidding. But so, yeah, that was a fun night. We went there. We saw Lars from Metallica and his son was there. They were also enjoying the movie. I noticed Lars has
I didn't see their credential. I'm just kidding.
But I did notice, though, Lars has been attending a lot of these superhero movies.
The last couple ones we've been to.
I know. So
that's pretty badass.
We should
like
get
that.
Lars on and have movie reviews with him.
I'd love to.
Oh, I'll try to make that happen. Yeah. So, but
Follow him to the bathroom. Maybe it'll work.
No, that's only for James. But
me?
No, James Hetfield.
I know.
You and I, we went, and I think let's just kind of overall go with our initial reactions, and then we'll kind of dive into it and just kind of break down the plot and go over main storylines. And Jimbo, just initial reaction to the movie.
It's cool being on this side of the fence as far as having a host ask me what my initial reaction to the movie is.
Oh, really?
What I have to do on movie night for the Best Damn Nerd Show.
Oh, okay.
Shameless plug.
Yes.
Feels good being on this side of the glass.
You deserve it. You're one of the best at what you do.
Thank you.
You're
what
welcome.
I do isn't very nice. In my initial reaction, I thought it was great.
Yes,
it was a phenomenal movie. I will say this because there was a lot of hype going into it, like, oh my God, like best movie ever or best Marvel movie ever, yeah, stuff like that. I do not think it is the best effort from Marvel.
Okay,
that is not to take anything away from it because, man, it was a great time. It was a lot of fun, and it is a great movie. And it just goes to show you that Captain America does Marvel movies now three times better than anyone else.
That is true.
So he is the best in the world of what he does, and what he does is make excellent movies.
That is very true, and I cannot agree with you more. I myself, after watching that movie, I was just blown away at how fun that movie was, as far as from beginning to end, amazing action scenes, but also great storytelling. And I think that's very hard for a lot of movies to accomplish, where you get some movies can just cover up the whole story with just a lot of action, but the plot sucks.
Yeah.
There's movies that are just really good storytelling, but the action scenes maybe, I don't know. It can be a tough balance.
One of the great blessings of being a comic book fan for as far as the cinematic universe has in a great revelation, Chris Evans as Steve Rogers. When I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before. I think I've talked to you about it, but when they announced that Chris Evans was going to be Captain America several years ago, I was already a Chris Evans fan because I love Not Another Teen Movie.
Yes, of course.
But I was very skeptical that he could be Steve Rogers because I'd never seen him play a role like that. And Steve Rogers is not an easy role to do because of the type of character. He's very Superman-esque, but he has consistently hit a home run with it. I mean, he is Steve Rogers. It's incredible how good he is. Mm-hmm. And his chemistry with Robert Downey Jr., and how they sort of just fall into those roles of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers so perfectly is one of the reasons why that storytelling works so well.
It's just really, we are watching a comic book, these comic book characters come to life on the big screen, and it's been a fun journey for the last 8 years of this Marvel Cinematic Universe existing. So also for me, I just, I'm going to throw it out there, but I know some people might say, oh, whatever. I'm just trying to think, like, I know there's DC fanboys, Marvel fanboys, but I mean, my first reaction was Captain America: Civil War. This is the movie Batman v Superman should have been, or wish it could have been.
It's funny that you say that, because immediately on the Facebook thread with the Best Damn Nerd Show, I didn't give them any spoilers. I just said, now that is how you do Batman v Superman.
I did not see that. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, nice. I mean, and it's just to give you credit, Jimbo, this is something you and I have talked about off the air. After we saw Batman v Superman, you referenced that it's a weird, uncanny coincidence, just timing-wise, that Marvel and DC both release movies with very similar plot lines, storylines. We got Batman v Superman, Captain America: Civil War, and just now seeing both movies, how very similar the tones are, the theme, and what they're trying to accomplish. So, I mean, like I said, we'll go deep into this as we make our way along.
I think it is weird, and it's not just with these movies. I mean, it's happened before in Hollywood, like Dante's Peak and Inferno, Volcano, rather, and stuff like that. It's kind of weird how that works out, so I don't know what goes on down there.
Maybe
somebody shares a casting couch and...
But even just how certain characters...
Everybody gets a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone has a price to pay. By the way, nice Shawn Michaels shirt you're wearing.
Hey, you're welcome.
I got
referenced. Shawn, you're Marty.
That's true. That's totally fine. But the other thing is, these characters, a lot of them take on, have specific roles in the movie. And it's very, like I mentioned, interesting to see how in each movie, Batman v Superman and Civil War, certain people have to carry out certain, they have certain objectives they have to cover in these movies. So, like I said, we'll get into that as we talk about each character. So, the other thing is, this is just a friendly reminder how a cinematic universe should play out and versus Marvel and DC. I think with DC, just a reminder that they need to, I recommend they take their time building out their universe, all their characters. I mean, Batman v Superman, I think a lot of us did not really fully believe the conflict and the fight that was going on, and we just didn't have a lot invested in these characters, unlike Marvel and where we're at now with Captain America: Civil War. This is 8 years in the making. We've had a lot of movies with these characters interacting with each other. We've figured out what their stands are on various topics and issues that they've had to deal with. And so when it comes to this big conflict in the movie, it really is we could choose sides, but we also understand both viewpoints, and we're like, like a lot of these characters, like, we totally understand why Iron Man feels this way, Captain America feels this way. So I guess maybe, Jimbo, if you want to just kind of sum up what the initial conflict is between Cap and Iron Man.
Well, and to your point, as far as setting this up, and then we also had like a 2-hour commercial in Age of Ultron setting this up too.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So, so the initial conflict setting this up is, basically, we start out very similar to Winter Soldier with Captain America's on a mission. He happens to be with the newer Avengers.
Yes.
This time in Africa. They're hunting down Crossbones, who's a personal favorite Captain America villain of mine.
Which is, he's evolved. I mean, he's still alive after the events of Winter Soldier.
Agent Rumlow, who was in S.H.I.E.L.D. In Winter Soldier. Now he's gone full Crossbones. He, has been arms dealing. He's doing your pretty standard nefarious activities.
Yeah.
So in this, he's trying to hijack a biological weapon. Great action sequence to start the movie.
Yes.
He has a vendetta with Captain America, though, because obviously when he was fighting with Captain America, to quote Rumlow, he said, "You dropped a building on my face." So he has an axe to grind, and you become aware that his plan was not to escape, but to trap Captain America. So what he does, he essentially has a suicide bomb strapped to him, and lures Captain America in close, and then distracts him with talking about Bucky and everything like that, and then he sets off the bomb. Scarlet Witch, whose powers are awesome in this movie.
Yeah, they've really increased since Ultron, like, she's learning them more.
Yeah, exactly. But so she tries to contain the blast and sort of like levitate Crossbones and the explosion as it's going off out of danger. She loses control of it, though, as it's like midway up this building.
And,
some people die.
Yeah.
Some people die. And you know, makes the news, you know, in the 24-hour news cycle that is 2016. I mean, how could it not?
Which is great, I think, as far as keeping it real to today's world.
Yeah, so that was an issue. So it kind of, that is a catalyst for the Secretary of State, General Thunderbolt Ross, mm-hmm. from Hulk,
yeah.
played by William Hurt, entering the stage and being like, you know, hey, you guys are heroes and everything like that, but not everybody likes you because, you know, you arrive, raise hell, and leave kind of deal, which a little bit of a cop-out because, I mean, the Avengers, it's not like, I mean, I've never looked at it like that they come in, they F stuff up, and then leave. I mean, that's not really, like, you know, they made sure they got so many people out of Sokovia or whatever it was mm-hmm. called, and, but that's the perception that Secretary of State Ross is going with. So he brings up the whatever it's called, the Sokovia Accord, or
Sokovia Accords.
Accords.
Yeah.
Which is essentially, it's a UN resolution to turn the Avengers into a, like a UN Security Council fighting force, like a UN personal
police squad.
Yes. Or, to be used when a special panel deems it worthy that the Avengers should be used, which. Yeah. Of course, is a terrible idea for anyone who knows anything about the UN because they stink.
Yeah, well, and just playing off that, though, with Ross, when he came in, and this is what I like about Marvel and Tim taking their time storytelling, he reflects and connects the dots from past movies as far as the actions in New York City from the Avengers, also Winter Soldier, Captain America Winter Soldier with the events in Washington, D.C., and then Avengers Age of Ultron with Sokovia, pretty much the whole country falling down. And then most recently, the stuff that happens in Africa. So it's like all these four big events, Ross is trying to say, hey, there is casualties to your actions. You know, there are consequences.
Yeah.
And also the big thing, we can assume there have been casualties along the way. We don't see all of it, but I mean, just the one example they give in the movie as far as Tony Stark, after he gives a big speech and gives a big loan to
research grant to all these kids at MIT.
Yeah. He's in the hallway and meets this random woman who referenced that her son was killed and, was one of the casualties over in Sokovia,
which is sort of an homage to the comic book, because there is the sort of the catalyzing incident in Civil War.
Okay, yeah.
The comic book. This charge is led by this mother that gets in Tony Stark's ear talking about her kid that died, and she kind of really pushes for change.
Okay, so. Well, no, that's great. I mean, so just with that, and plus, if you think about it, with Tony Stark, he theoretically created all the destruction in Ultron. You can make the argument since he created Ultron.
No, you'd be right. That's Tony's fault.
So all that guilt is on his head.
Correct.
Absolutely. Like
he screwed up. I mean, Tony does.
Between the post-traumatic stress we saw him deal with in Iron Man 3, and then I know. I'm sorry to reference Iron Man 3, but it's just, I think it's been building up in Tony all these years, and so I think that's what goes into his motivation wanting to sign this. But Captain America is against it because he doesn't trust big government bodies.
Yes. He has a great line that, you know, about how the safest hands are still their own, and talking about how, like, you know, all these people at the UN, they can say all these nice things, but it's politics and they have agendas and mm-hmm. agendas change. And,
yes.
you know, what if, you know, there's a situation we need to be in and they don't send us, or maybe even worse, what there's a situation that we shouldn't be in that they decide to send us
yes.
to? So
it's just, hidden agendas. And Steve wants the Avengers to remain independent, private company, I guess, or, you know, them being on their own, which is interesting. Yeah, because it just makes you think about just why he doesn't want to work for the UN realistic. I mean, that pretty much how it sums up. He doesn't want to work for the UN because, they have these hidden agendas and can put them in situations that they don't agree upon. And it's dangerous. But Tony Stark, Iron Man, is for it, and I think that just plays into his emotions, just for the accountability. I mean,
it's to ease his stupid conscience. I will say this, and so what? Again, I loved this movie. There's a couple negative points, and one of the main negatives for me was in this scene and throughout the movie. Don Cheadle, you stink as War Machine, dude. You're terrible.
Really,
just retire.
You think so?
You suck. One of the things like that made Civil War in the comics is that you have to understand that they could have done better in this movie is the tremendous amount of respect that Captain America commands from the rest of the Marvel Universe.
Oh, really?
That even when they disagree with him, he is this revered figure. He is the hero of heroes. He's been doing it longer. He's been doing it better. And he is this guy that they look to for inspiration and leadership. And so to cross him, which they felt very strong convictions to do that Cap was wrong, but to cross him was a big deal. It was a heavily weighted decision. And in this scene, Don Cheadle playing Rhodes War Machine just like seemed to like give no F's, like he was like talking down to Captain America. Like, I don't know if you remember that. He was like, "You're way out of line, Steve." Like just immediately jumping on. It's like, no chance in hell. No chance in hell does that happen. That was terrible. Terrible writing, terrible acting, Don Cheadle. Give it up. How did you get an Oscar? You stink.
Because Terrence Howard wasn't around.
Terrence Howard is awesome. Yeah. And he was way better. You stink. So Empire, just, great show. Watch it.
So you're just saying, at the end of the day, Captain America, whatever he believes in, his whatever he voices, the team respects it and ultimately tries to understand where he's coming from.
It's not even about trying to understand where it's just about a matter of respect and reverence that was not shown.
That they should trust at least.
No. It's a tone in which that they sort of they're always just a little bit in awe of Captain America. His words carry weight. So I did not get that vibe at all from a couple of the characters in this movie.
Okay, no.
Hawkeye was the opposite of that. Like the fact that, jumping a little bit ahead, but the fact that he would come out of retirement because Cap needed him.
Yeah, he just called him.
That's Captain America. When he calls,
the big deal.
You answer.
Yeah, and then that's really cool. So
you stink, Don Cheadle.
Just asking also kind of rhetorically, just your thoughts. Do you think this was the best Civil War story that they could have done in the current state of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I mean, we know that the comic book came out in the 2000s, early 2000s, and it's very different in many ways, in which we'll touch upon.
Yeah, it's very, very different.
So do you think this was the best way they could have portrayed it on screen? Are you satisfied with it?
I mean, I don't think that I watched the Civil War comic book. I don't think that's the movie we got. I think we got a very different story. It really was Captain America's Civil War. It was not the Marvel Civil War arc.
Yeah,
it was very different. I mean, there's obviously a couple things that stayed true to the comic or what have you, but other than that, I mean, they were doing their own thing. It was fine. It was a great story, and it is hard to do what they did in the comic books because there's so many characters and there's so much that would have to happen. I do think they did a good job with it. There's a couple things that I would have changed, but
I like how you say it's almost like this version was like the Survivor Series version of because it was pretty much what 6-on-6.
Yeah.
I think it ended up being. Even though in the movie posters you see 5-on-5, but
and I think if they wanted to make it truly a civil war, and again you focus on the whatever 5-on-5 or 6-on-6, but if you want to make it truly feel like a civil war, you have all these Netflix properties, you have all these ones. Just have them pop up and do camp, not major roles, but basically having them pick a side. And seeing where they come down on it, depending on, the war never really spilled over. So it was never really like the Civil War in that sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was very self-contained. That's a good point bringing that up. Well, I just think that I like that it's a reminder that it is Captain America's Civil War. It is a Captain America movie. He is still the main focus of the movie.
Yeah.
And it revolves around him and actions and events that he's been a part of over X amount of years and movies that we've seen him in. So I know it's a very big ensemble cast, but it still revolves around him and how everyone plays into him, which is still great. So if you're a Captain America fan, you're going to get plenty of Cap, and it's just a reminder how badass he is. It's just where the action and fight sequences, the choreography in Winter Soldier definitely carries over in this movie between him and Bucky and everyone else involved. He's still, it's like, he really is. I'm more of a believer now that he is the most badass Avenger out there. Just,
you'd be right to think that.
Yes, I know. You would totally agree with me.
Real quick on that, because with the Netflix characters and stuff like that, one of the best parts or one of the most important characters for Cap's team in Marvel Civil War was Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So, and you know, you want to introduce Luke Cage to a mass audience to get people to watch his Netflix show, because maybe people didn't watch Jessica Jones. Yeah. This would have been a perfect opportunity.
It's interesting. And that's the thing. Yeah. So, for the teams, I guess let's just quickly just run down. So Captain America, on his team, he had Winter Soldier, AKA his buddy, Bucky, Falcon, Ant-Man, let's see, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye. And now Team Iron Man, he had, Black Panther, let's see, Black Widow, Vision, War Machine.
Black Iron Man. Oh, War Machine, yeah.
Yes. And so, and then eventually Spider-Man shows up, which we'll kind of get into that as well. So, yeah, it was 6-on-6, and I was hoping that, yeah, you're right, that we have these characters kind of building up in the Netflix world, which is part of the cinematic universe. But, yeah, we didn't get any reference to them. Daredevil, Punisher, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage.
You could have had a couple reveals, you know?
Yeah, like, I was kind of hoping that they would bring them in for something. Just, yeah, to extend.
I mean, dude, like, because you have Punisher show up in this or Daredevil. I mean, my God, it'd be incredible.
I mean, even, I don't know, like, let's say, like, I mean, a recruiting scene,
There's a scene in Civil War, like, Punisher is on Team Cap in Civil War.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like the, like, you know when you, like, you have a stance on something?
Yeah.
And somebody agrees with you, but he agrees with you for, like, the way, like, weird, off-the-reservation, quasi-racist reasons, you know?
Yeah.
That's Punisher agreeing with Cap on the Civil War thing. Like, he's, like,
to be extreme.
Yeah, yeah, he's, like, way too, like, gung-ho about it. And, like, so, like, in the comic book, Cap is kind of sort of, he's not really super stoked to have Punisher on his team because Punisher kills, like, you know, willy-nilly.
So he's like Joe Hawk of the podcast?
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
But so, I mean, you could have had a scene where, like, Punisher maybe shows up to help Cap's team, and you could have had, like, Cap, like, breaking his guns or something like that. You know, I mean, you could have done a lot of these cool things.
Yeah.
You know? Because Punisher's another guy, like, who really, really respects Cap because, I mean, they both served and everything like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's true. And so I wonder how this will play out in the Netflix series. I wonder if they'll...
Which is why Rhodes, you'd think, would really respect Cap, too, in this movie.
Yeah.
Because he served.
Exactly.
Combat
well,
missions.
So, yeah, just for anyone wondering, there is no characters from the Netflix world that was referenced in this movie. So it really is 6-on-6. So, but yeah, Captain America, he is the main character. Everything revolves around him. We just catch up where him and Falcon are looking for Winter Soldier. So that's the thing. I was so in love with the three of them between Cap, Falcon, and Winter Soldier. The three of them working together, that's a badass trio.
Yeah.
I mean, once they finally get Bucky, they find him, they kind of win him over. And it was cool seeing Bucky just tell Cap that he remembers everything. Like, I know he's been brainwashed up, but he's coming to his senses and realizes that this is his best friend. And I just love seeing that interaction because you and I talked about this at dinner before we saw the movie, that for Cap, he woke up 7 years later with nothing of his previous life existing. So this is the one thing, Bucky's the one piece of his previous life that he can gravitate towards and at least have some, I guess, comfort or just, you know, just he has something.
Dude, it's his best friend.
Yeah.
And I mean, for him to still be alive, but be such a tortured soul, probably ripping Cap up. So saving Bucky is a huge deal to Captain America. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned Anthony Mackie as Falcon.
Yeah.
Is tremendous. Mm-hmm. And his chemistry with Chris Evans is off the charts. Like, they could not have gotten Cap and Falcon better, in my opinion. It is ridiculous. Like I just assume they're friends off screen because it comes across so well.
Even the interaction between Falcon and Bucky is really cool.
And you know how I feel about too much comedy, but there was a great moment where just when Falcon just looks at Bucky after they just got their ass whipped, he just goes, "I hate you." Yeah. It's tremendous.
I even laughed when they were in the car and, you know, they're riding in a bug, Volkswagen bug, because Cap's is, you know, it's not very
inconspicuous.
Yeah, and I guess Falcon's, he's sitting up front and Bucky tells him, "Hey, can you move the seat up?" And he's like, "Nope." I mean, so it's like
they're jealous. Because they both want bro down with Cap.
I know. Is that what it
I've
is?
I've been there. I've been in a friendship trio, and there's always a jockeying for position just for the favored son. I get it.
Nice. Yeah, that's true. But so I guess look, for Iron Man, what do you think of Iron Man's role in this movie? I mean, Was it believable as far as what he stood for, but also just what he did throughout the movie?
Yeah, I think Robert Downey Jr. is a great Tony Stark, yes. Great Iron Man. I do think that maybe it is believable because, like you alluded to earlier, this has been building.
Yes.
In him. I do think they could have maybe. I did feel like they jumped into the Sokovia Accords a little quickly.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot to do. So, yeah. but no, I bought it. I bought him, Tony Stark, being into this and wanting to do this. I mean, it's kind of, Tony, like, you know, he's been building towards this. He wanted to build an army of robots to police the world and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of a totalitarian type dude anyway. Yeah. So, you know, think about that when you support him. I bought that. I do think that later on, though, like, I think they kind of pushed out a little bit with him bailing on it so quickly.
As far as when he admitted that he was wrong?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I get it, like, because he was wrong. But it seemed like they were trying to, you know, in the Civil War, invariably somebody is going to be the bad guy. And then that's the thing in the comic book and in the movie, I think they try and write it to where maybe you can actually pick a side, but you really can't. There's clearly the right side to be on in this movie, in my opinion.
When the guy's name is in the movie, in the title, Captain America. Well,
but I mean, just even looking at how it's coming down, like the whole movie, like you realize, like Cap is hunting something that is the real lurking, you know, villainy behind everything.
Yeah.
And so Tony's fighting like for this, you know, different sort of fight that you know he's wrong.
But to his defense, as far as coming at from a neutral standpoint, in his mind, based on everything he knows, he thinks he's right.
Yeah.
So that's why I think you could, in a way, take his side, Team Iron Man, in a way, just based on that. And we know people out there love the Tony Stark character that's being presented in the universe. So I could see how...
How much will they love him, though, when they see him as just like the UN's little lapdog bitch?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how this plays out in future movies. I mean, and I don't want to get towards the end, the future of the movies.
Yeah. But I did buy it. I thought it made sense. I Tony's portrayal of it was great.
Yes. So basically, just to sum it up, Iron Man wants everyone to sign the Accords because... He just thinks that they need to be in check. They need someone to overlook them and kind of control their actions. I think that's just kind
of the who watches the watchman kind of question.
Yeah. So with that, though, because let's see, I'm trying to think. Oh, because at the UN meetings to kind of finalize the accords being signed, big explosion and Black Panther's dad was speaking during that. He dies and we meet Black Panther in the movie, and based on secret security footage, we see that it looked like it was Winter Soldier who set off the bomb and everything.
Yeah, and you just hear him go, "Sorry, I spoiled your Black Panther party."
So I'm just saying. So with that, that's where it leads, where everyone's like, "The Winter Soldier's back. He's evil as he always is, and we need to go stop him." And that's what motivates Black Panther to go chase him down because he killed his dad.
Yeah.
Iron Man's like, this guy is crazy. We need to stop him too.
Yeah, he's an assassin.
Yeah,
for all the world knows, he's a notorious assassin.
So Winter Soldier definitely plays a big role in this movie as far as people's sides, where they stand. Cap, he knows that's his best friend. He wants to save him, and they come to find out that Bucky was set up based on the character Baron Zemo.
Yes,
who we find out,
name only Baron Zemo.
Yeah, so we find out he's the real mastermind behind all of this as far as creating all the conflict and stuff. So we find out that was a prosthetic face or mask he used.
Yeah, kind of like a Mission Impossible type deal to look like Bucky. And so, I mean, that led them down this rabbit hole of trying to catch Bucky.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think is an important scene that they could have made more important. So Cap's trying to find Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
Black Widow is telling him to stay out of it because at this point now the Accords are in place. The Avengers, the legal side of the Avengers, are essentially a UN police force.
So I was gonna. That's what I was kind of confused on. So
Yes.
It went through.
So, yeah, things. So, this, that's how it is.
But it's only based on the people who signed it, theoretically, right? Which is Team Iron Man's side.
But it doesn't matter. It's not like it's what the UN is deciding to
okay.
do.
Okay.
So, that's what they're trying to tell Cap. It's like, look, this is happening with or without you kind of deal.
Okay.
And so, they're, you know, they find Bucky. There's this great action sequence with, you know, basically Captain America and Black Panther both chasing after Bucky.
Yeah.
One trying to bring him down to reach him, one trying to kill him.
That stairwell scene that right before that, where it's like Bucky and Cap teaming up, taking out I don't know how many guys going down.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's like the two of them together are just badass. And it just reminded me that Winter Soldier does have some form of a super soldier serum inside of him as well. And between that and his metal arm, just how badass he is taking guys out. He's just as badass as Captain America. So, but yeah, the chase yeah. scene itself.
So yeah, the action sequences of the movie are great. So, you know, they get caught though. And it's because they are acting in a legal act of vigilantism.
Because they theoretically are saving or trying to save
a
wanted man.
Yeah. Right? So they're interfering where they don't, quote, belong now, according to the UN resolution. So they catch Black Panther, who reveals himself to be the Prince of Wakanda, or I guess King of Wakanda now. They catch Captain America. This is what should have been more important, is especially with how the rest of the movie went and did not go according to the comic book. You're arresting Captain America. That should have been a bigger deal. They should have made it feel more weighty that you are arresting Captain America. That is a major, major deal that you're doing. I mean, this is a guy that has fought, saved the world 70 years ago, 2 years ago, yesterday. Like, you're arresting Captain America. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. It felt like just kind of like another end to an action scene, because then the next scene, he's just right back in there with Tony Stark talking about, oh, yeah, there'll be consequences. And Tony's like, dude, what are you doing, bro? Like, you know, we made the accords.
Yeah. So, and then we see Baron Zemo, who we come to find out he's been kind of doing a lot of research on the Winter Soldier.
He's been doing some Facebook creeping.
And the program that he was a part of. And he ultimately was trying to get all the notes on him and how he was
made. How to control him.
Yeah. And we see he killed the doctor that was going to give Bucky like a psychic evaluation. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Like, and so he comes in and uses those keywords that kind of set off Bucky's mind, like, because he's brainwashed. So when you set off these like certain words, it kind of puts him in a robotic state, like a killing, a bloodthirst mode.
He reactivates essentially that he can be programmed.
Yes. And so that's when Bucky, I was impressed that he broke out of like that little prison cage cell that he was locked down in. So it's like, bam, bam, how strong he is. And that's when they go after him again. And then when they finally got him, or because of that, that's where Cap and Falcon use that opportunity to kind of go underground, which is similar to the comics, right? Where as far as Captain America and his team go underground.
Yeah.
And that's where he starts building up his team, as far as that's where Hawkeye comes out of retirement. We find out Scarlet Witch, Vision was trying to keep her at home.
Really, really creepy babysitter.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that relationship is going to...
Oh, yeah. They're going to do that, because that's what they did in the comics.
Yeah. So
you're going to have weird android mutant sex.
Yeah. Flaming red laser. Yeah. So
it's going to get weird.
But yeah,
he's making animal noises.
He's making dinner for her and stuff. You can tell that relationship is starting to grow. But so she goes, Hawkeye helps break her out and they take out Vision. And you see Ant-Man come. And like, the comedy, I thought it was well done, as far as they did not overdo the comedic tones. But Paul Rudd brought in his Ant-Man with his funny lines. We know that from Ant-Man. So when he comes in, he is comedic relief. And I think just, wow, Captain America. Like, whoa. So
I did like when he handed the shield back to him. He's like, I think this belongs to you, Captain America.
Yes.
I would do that.
So, but the thing is, that team realized that Bucky's been framed and they want to stop it. And they realize that there's more Winter Soldiers out there that are just still kept frozen. So they want to stop Baron Zemo from, I guess, potentially unleashing those Winter Soldiers.
So they're worried that there's this essentially super, super powerful death squad out there that could be used, because Zemo says he wants to topple an empire, and that, Bucky's basically, he could do it with these guys. You know, he could do it.
Yeah.
And so
we see flashback sequences how Bucky was like the first of his kind. Yeah, he was training them. And so they're going off and they're trying to get to this location, but Team Iron Man's
trying to stop him,
which
they
leads
to bring Bucky in, and
which leads to this big airport fight scene, which was probably
that was the most civil war-y part of the movie.
I mean, that was the Civil War fight in this whole movie. I mean, I guess except for the end where it's reduced down, but that fight sequence, just your thoughts on just that initial fight sequence, because there's a lot of people raving and loving that scene.
Oh, I thought it was amazing. And again, it was the most Civil War-esque part of the movie as far as what we, well, there are a couple, there's some imagery in the end fight that is just nerd boner galore, it was great. It was a great action scene. It was a great fight. We got our introduction of Spider-Man. I mean, we see Spider-Man earlier in the movie.
Yeah,
but
so he recruited him. Like, I guess because Tony Stark realized he needs more people on his team.
It was a bit of a stretch.
It was really fast. Like, he said, oh, I know this guy, this kid.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense that they would have tabs sort of on, like, other metas and stuff like that.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
That, you know, but it would make sense that everyone would know, not just Tony.
But it's very much like Lex Luthor having tabs on other metas out there.
Yeah, I mean, but it would behoove them to know who's an enhanced and stuff like that. Especially, I mean, you know, Shield's files and everything like that, or Hydra's files and all that. So
he recruits Spider-Man.
Yeah,
gives him
weird, just weird that Marissa Tomei is going to be Aunt May. Like, just
you think so?
Do you know what Aunt May looks like, Huey?
An old white-haired lady.
Yeah, it ain't Marissa Tomei.
She's hot, though. Looking good.
She still looks good.
I mean, her and, you know, you could tell Tony Stark is laying it thick on her, you know, flirting with her and stuff. But that sequence, because Peter Parker, who's Tom Holland's playing like a 16-year-old version of him, which I think is going to be great as far as for the next, for next 10 years, we can grow up with this kid. But, so the interaction between him and Tony Stark, like Peter Parker's like, whoa, like Iron Man's sitting in my living room and he's just going along with like the eye, the winking that Tony Stark's giving him. And then they go into his room and, you know, Tony Stark just outs him like, I know you're Spider-Man. Yeah. And then he hooks him up with a new suit and all that.
So he recruits him to be in that fight, which again was a little flimsy. It was cool to see Spider-Man, but the fight was awesome.
Just overall, despite Spider-Man being young, it was awesome kind of seeing Captain America put him in check. I mean, as far as, you know,
it was good seeing him go back and forth.
Yes. And then even he says, where are you from, kid? And he's like, Queens. And he's like, Brooklyn, and takes off. So it's like, I wonder down the road that bonds because they're both New Yorkers. But even one of the highlights is seeing Ant-Man become Giant Man.
Yes.
And he's taking like an airplane and throwing him at people. And that was just so much fun to watch. I mean,
that was something that we were hoping to see.
Yes.
And so for them to actually do it was pretty badass.
It was great. I mean, and just everyone, what I like about this movie is everyone kind of had a moment to shine. For such a big cast, we've seen other movies kind of fail at that as far as like Spider-Man 3 and even, you know, Batman v Superman, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, we've seen movies where it has big casts, but it doesn't feel right, the flow. This one, everyone gets a moment. So if you're a fan of one or the other particular Avenger, everyone has a moment to shine. And that fight scene, you get to see everyone kind of take on each other. My one thing, though, is just to clarify, no one was out for blood as far as killing one another.
Black Panther wanted to kill Bucky.
True. But it was more just stopping one another or trying to contain. Iron Man was just trying to stop Captain America's team from moving on.
They weren't trying to kill one another.
Yes.
The main cast.
And that's, like, just you mentioned earlier. So this airport scene, it was kind of, no one was really around. So as far as a Civil War, it's kind of like if a tree falls in the wood, does it make a noise? So it's kind of like this airport scene, I wonder how many people actually know about this fight taking place.
Oh, I'm sure it made the news. But the thing
as far
about
as no casualties, we think no other casualties around, right?
I mean,
it was all self-contained at this airport.
Yeah. And the casualties thing is an interesting point because in the comic book, the main huge fight, which Captain America's team wins, only for him to surrender or lay down his arms, is because there are casualties around civilian casualties. And, you know, Cap just, like, there's a line in the comic where, I forget who it is, says, Cap, what are you doing? We're winning the fight. And then Cap just says, but we're losing the argument. And that's when puts it down. So
much more respect to Cap for just thinking that.
And so, yeah, you're right. So this, but that was, yeah, that was, this was the Civil War coming to a head. It was a great action sequence. And
so much fun. You're going to enjoy it. I mean, that alone, I can watch that over and over, and I'm sure someone one day is going to put that whole thing on YouTube and we all enjoy it down the road. But I know we're coming, wrapping things up, but just real quick, it's just, Jimbo, your thoughts on, I guess, like Spider-Man's, let's kind of just run down some of the characters. So Spider-Man, your thoughts on him, just his role in the movie?
I thought he was good. I mean, I didn't think, like, I've seen some review, like, I try not to read other people's reviews and stuff like that, but I've seen some reviews where, like, they're saying he's, like, the best cinematic Spider-Man already ever, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I thought Tobey Maguire did a good job. Maybe he didn't look the part, but I thought he did good. It's still, if I were to grade it, an incomplete, because, you know, I haven't really seen him for an extended period of time.
He just had pretty much two scenes, like the recruiting scene and the fight scene.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, he was good, though. I'm encouraged.
Yes, and I'm excited that we can grow with this character, because he is like a 16-year-old high school student, and he's very, like, nervous-talking, energetic, upbeat, and it's something kind of a little bit different that we didn't see. I mean, he is very nerdy. We see he's very tech-savvy in his room that Tony Stark knows.
I would have liked a little bit more wit and a little less, like, sort of jitters.
Yeah, okay, that's a valid point. I mean, I'm sure that can grow in the next, his own solo movie.
Yeah, I mean, because the whole thing is when he puts on the suit, well, and that's the other thing, it was stupid that Tony gave him the first real Spider-Man suit. That was dumb.
But in that quick YouTube scene clip of him in the movie, it's kind of cool, his own, like, maybe first draft of his suit as far as the goggles and just, like, almost like a red ski mask and, like,
and
backpack. I mean, that's kind of like...
I don't like that Tony gives him the first real Spider-Man suit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe he'll add to it.
It's too late now.
That's true. Okay, so you're saying it's already been established.
The genie's out of that bottle.
Okay. Black
Panther.
What
did you think, though?
I mean, Spider-Man, I'm excited to see where this character can progress within, now we know he's in this universe, cinematic universe, what stories they can tell with him in this. And I really enjoyed it. I thought he was funny. And as far as... the humor with considering his age, I think they are trying to honor like the older original traditional versions of Spider-Man. So I think they're trying as best they can honor that legacy of Spider-Man. And I think Tom Holland, I'm excited to see where he can grow with this character.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it for what we've seen so far. And I'm like you said, I'm just really excited to see what he can do with this. So Black Panther, that was another big thing. People were excited to see Black Panther in this movie because that was just like a big... the first time we've actually seen Black Panther in the cinematic universe. So just your thoughts on him as well in the movie?
I am encouraged for the future of the character. Mm-hmm. I thought he was good. I did not think he was, you know, like the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
I liked him. I liked that actor a lot. Yeah. I think it was interesting though, because we're given this character and it was hard to sort of see Black Panther just out of the jump be out for blood right away, you know? Like, it was just a very angry Black Panther, obviously because his father got killed. So, I get that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love Black Panther. So so his introduction cinematically to me is being on the wrong side of an issue.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, but he comes around for sure. But for most of the movie, he's wrong.
Yes, exactly.
Which is
based on false information.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but, you know.
But I mean, I, me too. I was like, he was fun to watch, but it wasn't like, oh my God, he's stealing the movie. I mean, you know, I didn't think he was like, you know what I mean, Jimbo, like as far as he wasn't like stealing the movie or like he was a great addition, but he wasn't like, oh my God.
His costume looked great.
Yeah.
The costume was tremendous.
And so I'm curious if his next solo movie or his first solo movie, if we're going to get more backstory on him.
Oh yeah.
And just that way we can kind of develop more of a bond towards it. But he was still fun to watch and what he brought to the movie. As far as the other characters, I mean, is there anyone, I mean, not to take up too much time going over each character, but is there, the rest of them, I think, were all great, just sidekicks.
Hawkeye was great.
For their respective teams, right?
Yeah.
Is there anyone in particular that stood out to you on the teams? Black Widow, she was good as far as...
she did her double agent thing.
Yeah, which I was surprised. She actually helped Captain America get away. Him and Bucky.
Again, respect.
Yes.
She respects Captain America.
Absolutely.
I will say this about Black Widow. One of the great, and again, this is a great nerdy Easter egg, is that when they're fighting with Winter Soldier and Winter Soldier and Black Widow are going toe-to-toe, and she goes, the least you could do is recognize me.
Yes.
And so alluding to the fact, which knew it in Winter Soldier, how she was talking about him, that they were going to do, that they were going down the route, that they do know each other, and that they probably have done missions together as assassins.
Yeah.
I loved that. Super, super hard for that.
So I wonder if they can explore that down the road.
I hope so.
You think a solo Winter Soldier slash...
I think a Winter Soldier Black Widow movie would work very well.
Okay.
They did it good. In the comic books. Yeah. It would be great.
Also, just, and this can kind of help us just talk about the end part, just as far as the villains, Crossbones, very small.
Yeah.
Than what I was
hoping
for.
He was exactly what I expected he was going to be.
Just though. First act.
First, not even first act. I expected I expected him to be the betrothed level villain in this movie, that he was going to be the opening guy they were going to deal with, and it was going to springboard off into everything else.
And that's what we got. Like, they blew him up.
I mean, he's probably dead.
And so, and
it's too bad because I really like Crossbones, but I reserve the right for them to bring him back.
But with that being said, I mean, since he was dead from the beginning, like in the comics, Crossbones in the comics killed Captain America. He shot him, assassinated him at the end of Civil War, the comic book. So, that didn't happen in the movie, and so, you know, big spoiler, Captain America lives.
He lives.
So he moves on to more movies, which I guess we're all excited. I guess some people
maybe
were...
Maybe Thanos will kill him in Infinity Gauntlet.
Maybe. So. I know that kind of... That happened, right?
Huge moment. Huge.
Yeah, well, he breaks the shield, right, and then kills him after, so...
As long as one person stands against you.
Yes. Woo! So, I mean, well, I'm excited to see as far as... Some people were anticipating, if Cap dies, maybe Bucky picks up the shield and becomes Captain America for like a movie or two. But nope, Steve Rogers is still around. He's going to be around through Infinity War, as far as we can tell, and all that stuff. Baron Zemo, what did you think of him portrayal in this movie?
It was eerie how similar his plan was to Lex Luthor from Batman v Superman. It was done better.
Yes.
But it was still, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't Baron Zemo.
He's just some guy from Sokovia that wants revenge.
His family died. Yeah, he was just a very vengeful character. It was a mistake to put the Zemo name on him. That was a complete waste. I mean, the character was fine.
Yeah,
he was kind of a throwaway. But it's like the Russo brothers in Winter Soldier, they gave us Robert Redford's character, who we all speculated as far as who this character actually was. Is he really the Red Skull? Is he maybe Baron Zemo?
Oh, okay,
They just had him be that character.
The senator or whatever it was.
And I think they should have probably gone that route here and just had this guy just be a guy.
Yeah.
Who was out, if that's the route they wanted to go to plan this civil war.
But great game plan. Like, he was so upset at the Avengers for killing his family in Ultron, that his game plan was to divide the team up and have them ultimately kill each other.
Yeah.
So he creates this big master plan to have them all turn on each other, which... leads to the big conflict, and he's framing Bucky, and then Team Cap follows him to Siberia to see pretty much the headquarters where Bucky was stored at during all those years being frozen. And we walk in
Department X.
Exactly. They walk in, see all the Winter Soldiers, the other Winter Soldiers. For some reason, Baron Zemo killed them all. He just shot.
That didn't really jive with me either, other than the fact that it's like, then we get the reveal, though, he was just trying to play them off against each other, and why he wanted them to come to that location.
The files there.
Was the files there to show Tony Stark that Winter Soldier is, in fact, the one who killed his parents.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I guess Tony's not as smart as I thought, because, like, I thought, you know, he would have been maybe able to put that together when all those Hydra files were leaked, but...
Yeah. Because didn't he, like...
I guess Hank Pym really is smarter than you, Tony.
Great line. Oh, so... While that's going on, Team Cap's team are put in this big prison in the water.
It's the raft, And it's important to note that, Tony's starting to see the error of his ways, because it's like these heroes that have fought and laid their lives on the line for the world are kept in this supermax prison in the ocean called the raft. And, you know, they're essentially, they're being mistreated and everything like that. So it's like no joke. And again, I guess... the courage of Tony's convictions weren't that strong, because he realizes he done effed up.
Well, ultimately, he was hitting up Falcon
for information.
Yeah. He wants to go help Cap now.
Yeah.
Ant-Man. Scott Lang, Paul Rudd's character, great line.
He's like, never, it's like Hank Pym always said, never trust a Stark.
Yeah, so.
It's like, Yeah. Well, Howard was pretty cool for the most part.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess if you look at the beginning,
they were trying to work on his research. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So once Iron Man sees the old footage that Winter Soldier took out his parents, that kind of sets him off for a second time now.
Martha!
I know. It was kind of like his Martha. And that's another thing with these movies. Batman v Superman, Civil War, don't mess with these guys' mamas.
It all comes back down to mommy.
I know. So it sets him off, and that's when he wants to fight Bucky and kill him. But Cap's jumping. He's like, no, that's my friend. And that's when Iron Man says, so was I. It pretty much becomes 2-on-1. This great battle sequence between, I mean.
It's not even really 2-on-1 because it's like, it's a really interesting fight because it's like Iron Man's like trying to kill Bucky. Yeah. Bucky's just trying to get away. Like he's trying to like not kill him. Cap's trying to like stop Iron Man from killing Bucky. So, yeah.
And then what we said at third.
Oh, I did like the line as they were fighting up through this missile silo and everything like that. So Iron Man, he asks Bucky, he's like, do you even remember them? And Bucky, great line if you caught it. He says, I remember every one of them.
Yes.
That was just the guilt and everything that Bucky has to carry around with. Good feels.
But then during that action sequence, Captain America, he's like falling over and like Iron Man says like, stop.
Stay down, final warning.
And then Cap gets up.
I could do this all day. Great callback to the first one.
Exactly. And then also Captain America has his shield up. And then Iron Man is shooting off his, lasers.
Yeah.
And it's that same imagery from the comics. They're playing on that, which is honoring that story, that great visual, which is awesome to watch. See that play out on the screen. I was geeking out like, yes, there it is.
It was great.
We see Winter Soldier lose his arm because Iron Man shoots off his laser.
Bucky finally stops like playing around because Iron Man's like really trying to kill him. So Bucky starts ripping into Tony's like chest to rip out the arc reactor.
Yeah.
And he has the arc reactor fire off this giant laser blast that says bye-bye to the arm.
And while that's going on, Baron Zemo, he's hiding out. And that's the other thing. Black Panther is trailing
Baron
Team
Zemo because Baron Zemo, was following them. And then so he got to realize just how wrong he was. And then he was chasing after the wrong man.
Baron Zemo's the mastermind behind all this. So he goes after him and Baron Zemo tries to shoot himself in the head. Black Panther stops him, and then, he stops him, but he also realized that he was wrong as well, and then...
So he won't let vengeance consume him anymore.
Yeah, and then I think that's ultimately how he switches up and will help Captain America and all that. But then the best part of this movie is we find out a clear winner.
That is right. That's why I said when I left, this is a tremendous, tremendous victory.
Yes.
And a great blow. To all you casuals out there who think that Iron Man is some sort of A-list superhero, he's nothing without Cap. He's nothing without the Avengers. Cap was an A-list on the Mount Rushmore superheroes without the Avengers and without Iron Man. It was great. It was a knockout. He won the fight. It is going to be so great. All the disappointment of the Iron Man fans. Cap whooped that monkey ass.
I mean,
and you know the thing is, like a little bitch, Tony like puts his hands up when Cap. He thinks Cap's gonna like kill him with the shield.
No,
give me a break, Tony. He's a better man than you. He just took you out, walked away, and then Tony, like the selfish only child that he is, says, "Hey, that's my dad's. Don't take my stuff." And Cap drops the shield and walks away.
Boom.
Winner.
He dropped the mic.
He did.
But he took the shield, slammed it in the arc reactor to kind of ultimately shut down his suit.
Yeah.
And he picks up Bucky and walks away.
One. Winner.
Game blouses.
Yes.
But
Herb Dean jumped in there and called the fight.
Yes.
Knockout.
Or who's the
Joe
old
Joe Rogan's doing the post-fight interview with Captain America right now.
No, I think Mills Lane jumping in. Where's Mills Lane jumping?
Not more of a UFC guy.
Boxing, come on. But Captain America's a boxer, you know.
He does a lot of kickboxing, though, too.
So we pick up at the very end, Captain America and Bucky pretty much stay hidden, right? They're on the run still. As far as we find that they're over in Black Panther's property, and Winter Soldier, Bucky's like, put me under, freeze me until you figure out how to stop my brainwashing from going off again. Yeah. And so they freeze him. You see, he doesn't have a new arm yet. So I wonder who's going to make his new arm down the road? Will it be Iron Man? Or
I could see Hank Pym.
Hank Pym, or maybe Black Panther.
They got the vibranium there, so they can make it. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be interesting. So I'm curious how his new arm's going to be built down the road. So
half black.
Yeah. That'd be great. But we see Captain America and Black Panther, you know, are on the same team now. They're kind of like allies. Cap leaves a note for Iron Man.
Sends a letter to Iron Man. Yeah.
Is that a phone? Like, just like was that a cell phone? Like, if you need me, just call me? Like, is that what they're acknowledging?
No, I don't think so. I think it was just a letter, right?
Wasn't there a cell phone that fell out of the box?
I didn't even notice. I just saw the letter.
Oh, okay. But he pretty much said in the letter, just like...
Yeah, if you need me, it will be there.
So pretty much saying despite...
It's essentially kind of like the end of the first Avengers movie was that, you know, like, when you need us, we'll be there.
So ultimately, despite this big conflict, we can reconcile and come and work as a team again.
Basically, you know, Marvel's going to need to make more money in a couple of years. So when we have to fight Thanos...
Yes.
We cool.
Do you think Iron Man and Winter Soldier can still work together down the road? Can you see that happening? I mean, even though we know.
I could, but I think they wrote themselves a perfect way to not have him involved in other movies when they don't want him to be.
Oh, because he's frozen.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. So what we didn't like, I mean, just I know there's one big thing that you didn't like.
Yes.
This big sin. And I guess we kind of already hashed on other little things, but I guess for you, I want to give you this opportunity just to vent. The one big thing you did not like about this movie.
All right. So I talked about this on the podcast with you, Joe, and Shasta, as far as what the greatest moment to me that I would love to see on screen is Cap's speech that he gives to Spider-Man.
Yes.
And it is, in my opinion, it's probably my favorite speech that Cap ever gives in a character that gives a lot of great speeches throughout.
And theoretically, that foundation was laid out as far as the characters that are needed for this scene or possible dialogue was there.
And on a broader scale, I think it's one of the failings of, if there is a negative to be had in this great movie, is that I think they missed their opportunity to make a bigger statement in this movie as far as like what they were fighting for and why it was important. It felt just more, you know, they could have made a bigger statement about why what was going on was wrong. And that speech goes a long way to do that in the comic books. Mm-hmm. It's the "no, you move" speech. It's the, you know, basically saying it doesn't matter what the press says. Doesn't matter if the whole world is telling you that something is right when you know it's wrong. And when they tell you to move, you say, no, you move. And it's stirring. It was stirring to read it. Like I get chills thinking about it. So in the movie, Peggy Carter dies, which is sad. She's a great character. And we go to her funeral in which Sharon Carter is giving her eulogy.
And Cap was there. Like, he made a point to get there and be there to help carry the casket.
So he was a pallbearer and very emotional stuff. But Sharon Carter gets up there and she's talking about how Peggy did, how was she able to be in a world of espionage and I forget what else, as a woman and be able to like fight for that and all this stuff. Like, how was she able to be so successful and balance all that? And she's like, well, Peggy told me. And then she gives the "no, you move" speech like Peggy gave it. And I knew it was coming.
I sat there too. And I'm like, oh my God, like it hit me in the head. Like everything she's saying, like, I know this quote.
I mean, I knew when she was leading up to it, I could feel it. And so they take Captain America's speech that is a real, like, just beautiful moment in the Civil War series, and they do it as a throwaway eulogy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are like, oh, it was a nice homage for the fans of the comics. You can bleep this out. No. That is not what it was meant to be. It was not a nice Easter egg. We are beyond that point where, you know, if you're going to have the speech in the movie, have Captain America give the speech. And at least what you could have done, you could have saved it. You could have had her say, well, you know, Peggy said a great man once told me, do the speech. And then, you know, because then you can cut to Steve and have him tearing up everything like that, because then it calls back to their relationship and him making an impact.
Maybe a
with
quick
her.
Little flashback scene.
No. At the funeral.
Yeah.
You could just show Steve's emotions at the funeral, knowing that Peggy, that his words made such an impact on Peggy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they also missed opportunities. So whatever. They did that. I wanted to leave, to be honest with you. I wanted to get up and leave because it is a crime that they did that. But so I shook it off.
Took you 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, something like that. Shook it off. But they missed two opportunities in the movie to circle back to it and make it worth something. When he's fighting with Spider-Man and Spider-Man sort of, quizzically, asking him about like, Tony said you'd say that. And like, basically like trying to tell Spider-Man that he's in over his head. You could have revisited it there with Spider-Man, letting him know that he was on the wrong side of things and why they were fighting. Mm-hmm. And you give him that speech. You didn't do it there. Okay. Moving on.
A lot going on in that airport scene.
Yeah. But I think it would have fit perfectly.
Yeah.
Then you have Iron Man, the final fight with Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that final duel. This is the culmination of the Civil War here.
Mm-hmm.
Literally in the scene as he's going after Bucky, Iron Man tells him to move. Now you could either have them keep fighting and Cap do bits and pieces of the speech as they're going back and forth fighting.
Okay. Yeah.
Or you could have literally just had Cap, you could have just gone to Cap and go, no, you move. I mean,
and acknowledge it that way. I totally get what you're saying.
And know this is super nerdy and like just super, super in depth. But to people that actually care about the characters that didn't just buy their shirts at Hot Topic and actually like, these characters, it's important. So
absolutely.
I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Mic drop.
I get that. I totally respect it. And that's one thing I've kind of noticed. As great as all the Captain America movies have been, all three have been amazing. And then his roles in Avengers, all that. I feel like at times they still kind of mess with his legacy as a character. And because even in Avengers Age of Ultron, weren't you hoping that he was going to pick up Thor's hammer, Mew?
Yeah. Mew Mew is where I get my haircut.
Oh, okay.
No, I was hoping they were going to do that because he can do it in the comics. They kind of gave a nod to it because it moves.
Yeah.
And so, like, the theory is that he could pick it up, but he chose not to because he didn't want whatever that would entail, meaning that he could pick it up.
He held. So you're saying the theory is he held back right
there?
Yes. Oh, okay.
I hope he lifts it in Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping for now.
Okay. But I'm just saying, like,
But other than that, speech, I think they've done a really good job because in like Winter Soldier, he gives that kick-ass speech to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
And that was, to me, like that moment where Cap took a giant leap in the cinematic universe that he is the de facto leader of all these superheroes, that he is the inspirational figure.
Yep.
It was a huge missed opportunity. It's like, why? Like, again, I was not expecting that they were going to do the speech. But if you're going to do it, don't bastardize it.
Yes, that's true. No, I totally agree with you. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. And you should be writing for Marvel.
It was still a great movie.
It was amazing.
I don't mean to belabor the point, but it did feel like a nut shot. It was below the belt, like taking away the round.
Iron Man hit you.
Neutral corners.
Yes. So overall, we're just kind of summing it up. Oh, by the way, so you think War Machine is still going to be used in future movies because we see he got paralyzed?
Yeah, the War Machine paralyzed thing, they're just trying to make it seem like there was any sort of consequences, but there really wasn't.
I mean, so he's paralyzed, but because Iron Man built him like an exoskeleton.
Magic legs.
I got new legs.
Same stuff they use on the space shuttle.
Yeah, so, but does that mean like he could still be used for missions, theoretically?
Yeah, I think he'll be back.
Okay.
I mean, maybe they'll bring back Terrence Howard. I hope Don Cheadle isn't back because he stinks.
He comes back.
I don't like this War Machine either.
Yeah, but I guess he's been kind of kept minimum. I mean,
I don't like him.
Yeah.
Disrespectful.
Well, I see what you're saying. So overall, though, we love the movie. It is one of the best Marvel movies. So, but just, where do you think it kind of ranks, I mean, amongst all the other ones? Because now we have, like, what?
There's so many now.
12? I don't know off the top of my head the number. I got to count them all. But
off the top of my head, my gut reaction was, so Winter Soldier is still the best.
Okay.
Then Avengers 1.
Yep.
Then Captain America 1. And then depending on where you slot, Iron Man 1 or this movie.
Okay.
So it's in my top 5.
So it's in your top 5. Okay. No, I agree with you there. I'm in that same boat. I mean, part of me, Civil War could be 3. Just because,
and I know I'm in the minority a lot on the first Captain America movie. I think
I loved it too, though.
People hate America, so they try and not like it, because it's like very nostalgic and everything.
But I thought it was really well done. Just Red Skull.
I thought
that's a tough character, I think, to do.
I thought they
realistically.
I thought they did it great, and I love that it's a period superhero movie, which I think adds adds a lot to it.
Exactly. So
that's a whole nother.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, overall, we love the movie. It is one of the best Marvel movies. I think it could be arguably in the top three. A great like Avengers 2.5 movie as far as we get a lot of
the
characters.
It was a better Avengers movie than Age of Ultron.
Exactly. I mean, the only thing we didn't get was a Hulk or Thor, but they did acknowledge them that they're still out there somewhere. But,
yeah.
So we'll see how they play out in future movies. Real quick, are you the future of the MCU? Are you still happy with the direction where they're going to go now?
Yeah, well, okay. So I was a little worried. Like, I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know if I wanted them to kill Captain America off or not. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they didn't. Because I want, like, you know, it's one thing to kill him off in the comic books when you have infinite amount of time to bring him back.
Yeah.
We don't know how much longer we have Chris Evans as Captain America for, no matter what anybody says in the positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited that we're going to get him an Infinity Gauntlet, and we're gonna get all these, you know, he's still going to be around leading the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. Doctor Strange looks like it's going to be off the hook. I'm a huge Doctor Strange fan. So,
and then next year we have Guardians 2. And then what's also next year? Next year we have three movies. Oh, my God.
Do you want to talk about the post-credit scenes too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Your post-credit scenes. So we kind of
there are two.
Yes, there are two. So stay for both. Right after the main set of credits.
Like that's right.
The fancy credit scene with everyone's name. And they cut to Captain America at Black Panther's property.
Yeah, in Wakanda. Yeah. So they're putting
they're laying the foundation for Black Panther.
Yeah, being set there, and he's talking to him about how, you know, like if they find out you have Bucky, they'll come for you, and Black Panther's like, I'd like to see them try.
And you see the big, like made out of rock, Black Panther
statue.
Yeah, and then after all the other credits, jumps back to Peter Parker in his apartment.
Yep.
And just
playing with his new web shooter.
And I guess Tony
put like a logo in it. Yeah, I didn't really get why there was a logo in there or anything, but
I don't get it. It's like his version of like the bat signal. I mean, I don't know. I remember as a kid, like having, you know, those cool flashlights that can like put imagery on the walls. I mean, I don't know. That's what it was. But so it's saying that, hey, also Spider-Man's coming. Oh, yeah. Spider-Man's next year. That's what it was.
Yeah. Sadie Hawkins.
Yeah, Homecoming. And also Thor 3, that's also next year. So a lot of Marvel movies still to come. We still have a lot to, you know, talk about. It's like Kevin Smith said, it's an amazing time to be alive. So last thing, are you cool with the Russo brothers?
Oh, my God.
Taking on Infinity War movie?
Hell yes. And they did Winter Soldier. They did this. They've done absolutely right by Cap.
Okay.
And that's the most important thing to me in watching these movies, because I think Joss Whedon did pretty right by Cap in the first Avengers. I don't think he did right by him in Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he really did right by anybody in Age of Ultron. I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong. It was a good movie, but
yes, there was this flaw.
It was not his best effort.
Just what I like about the Russo brothers, they both acknowledge they're huge comic book fans. They know these characters. They want to honor them and do as best they can to, you know, the history, the legacy of them in these movies. And so based on just the big ensemble cast of this movie, which they're known for handling really well, they did a great job of this. So moving forward, we're going to get even a bigger cast in Infinity War. So I think I'm excited to see what they can do with Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2 in 2018 and 2019.
Two-parter.
Yeah.
I bet you they kill Cap at the end of the first part.
Maybe. And then bring Bucky for the second one?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. But
interesting.
I mean,
so, yeah. But overall, we love the movie. So we encourage everyone. On when you're listening to this podcast, either leading up to the release day or if you're watching it afterwards. So go see it. Comes out Friday, May 6th. And Captain America Civil War. Love the movie overall. Just a lot of fun stuff to talk about. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of great conversations about this movie for a long time to come. So I love it. So definitely, you know, just go see it. Support the product. Support Marvel. Support Captain America. That's ultimately, at the end of the day,
support
Team Cap. So on that note, let's go ahead and wrap things up for this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. Jimbo, anything you want to plug, promote?
Just my usual Instagram, bimbo.jimbo, at James Kincaid on Twitter, Best Damn Nerd Show. Mm-hmm. And again, the Lucha Lowdown podcast. It's a Lucha Underground-based podcast. It's coming.
Okay.
Working on some stuff. Got a logo in the works and everything.
Really?
So, yeah.
Is it going to be on a mask, too?
Yes.
Really?
Well, I mean, there's stuff coming.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So I'm working on Lucha Lowdown.
So you're saying if I catch up, I can help out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But you have to watch season one. All right.
I
discussed this with Jeff, who's going to be the co-host for Lucha Lowdown.
Yep.
Anyone we have on, They have to understand the product.
Absolutely. And I'm Baby Huey. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/BabyHueyOfficial. Twitter and Instagram, just search for BabyHuey83. Also, listen to Jimbo and I, our great interview with David Ramsey, a.k.a. Diggle from Arrow. We did a great interview with him, so make sure to listen to that episode. Probably when you're listening to this, it's going to be the previous one. So listen to that interview. We talk about Arrow, and he's also on Blue Bloods on CBS. So
yeah, we talk a lot about that one.
Yes, it was a heavily Arrow conversation. So he's a very fun interview, great guy. So check it out. As always, go to 1077thebone.com for everything, the other guys and all our interviews. Also iTunes, Stitcher, just look us up. And on that note, hopefully you go out and enjoy Captain America Civil War. Take your mom out to it. It is Mother's Day this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to reiterate, despite my rant there to kind of end the podcast, I hated to end it on that note. It is a great movie. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of fun.
It is amazing.
And there's a lot there, no matter which side you fall on, there's a lot of good stuff. You know, because I bag on Tony and everything like that because you tap out t-shirt wearers, all love them. But there's great stuff with him. And he's a great Tony Stark. And Chris Evans, great Captain America. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. There's great action. There's great feels. There's great comedy. So, enjoy.
Great balance of everything. Great storytelling. Great action. We love the movie. It lived up to all the hype. And it probably is going to be the best superhero movie of this year and one of the best of all time. So go out and see it when you can. And on that note, have a great rest of the week and weekend. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Other Guys Podcast. Be sure to follow The Other Guys on all their social media pages. Facebook.com/The Other Guys Podcast. Instagram @The Other Guys Podcast. And Twitter @TOG Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, check back to 1077thebone.com. For new and previous episodes of The Other Guys Podcast.